She didn't drink, and had no intention of doing so. "This is the wine without the sedative," Teldon said. "Good vintage, too. Yeoman is a true gentleman. If he's going to send one of his friends down into a pit to die, he'll at least provide them with expensive wine to soften the blow." "I'm supposed to believe that you're here to be imprisoned, too?" Vin asked flatly. "Of course not," Teldon said, "though many consider my mission to be hopeless."
"And that mission is?"
"To get you to drink some of the drugged wine so that you can be safely transported up above." Vin snorted. "I see that you agree with my detractors," Teldon said.
"You just gave yourself away," Vin said.
"You just said that I'm supposed to drink the wine and fall unconscious.
That means you have a way to signal to those above that I've been dealt with so they can remove the stone and let you out. You have the power to free us, and I have the power to make you do as I wish."
"Emotional allomancy cannot control me to that extent," Teldon said. "I'm no allomancer, but I do know something of it. I suspect that you're manipulating my emotions right now, actually, which really isn't necessary since I'm being completely frank with you."
"I don't need allomancy to make you talk," Vin said, glancing down at the knife she still had in her other hand.
Teldon laughed. "You think that King Yeoman, yes, he's up above, won't be able to tell if I'm speaking under duress? I have no doubt that you'd be able to break me, but I'm not going to betray my word simply on threats. So you'd have to cut off a few fingers or something before I'd do as you ask. I'm pretty certain that Yeoman and the others would hear me screaming."
"I could kill the servants," Vin said, "one at a time, until you agree to tell Yeoman that I'm unconscious and have him open the door."
Teldon smiled. "You think that I'd care if you kill them?"
"You're one of Ellen's friends," Vin said. "You were one of those who talked philosophy with him."
"Philosophy," Teldon said, "and politics. Ellen, however, was the only one of us interested in the scar. I assure you, the rest of us really didn't understand where he got such a fascination with them." He shrugged. "However, I'm not a heartless man. If you kill enough of them, perhaps I would break down and do as you ask. Might as well get started, then."
Vin glanced at the servants. They seemed terrified of her, and Teldon's words didn't help. After a few moments of silence, Teldon chuckled.
"You are Ellen's wife," he noted. "Yeoman is aware of this, you see. He was mostly convinced that you wouldn't kill any of us, despite your rather fearsome reputation. From what we hear, you have a habit of killing kings and gods, perhaps the occasional soldier. Scar servants, however."
Vin looked away from the servants but didn't meet Teldon's eyes, fearing that he'd see confirmation in them. He was wrong about her. She would kill those servants if she thought it would get her out. However, she was uncertain. If Yeoman heard screams, he wouldn't be likely to open the trap door, and Vin would have slaughtered innocents for no reason.
"So," Teldon said, finishing off his wine, "we are at a stalemate. We assume that you're running low on food down here, unless you've found a way to open those cans. Even if you have, there's nothing you can do here to help up above. My guess is that unless you take the wine, we'll all end up starving to death in this cavern."
Vin sat back down in her chair. "There has to be a way out, a chance to exploit this." However, it was incredibly unlikely that she'd be able to break through that door above. She could maybe use Duralumin and steel to push her way through. However, her steel and pewter would be gone, and she was out of metal vials. Teldon's words, unfortunately, held a great deal of truth. Even if Vin could survive in the cavern, she'd be stagnant and useless. The siege would continue up above, she didn't even know how that was going, and the world would continue to die by Ruin's machinations. She needed to get out of the cavern, even if that meant being put into Yeoman's hands. She eyed the bottle of drugged wine. "Damn," she thought. "That obligator is far cleverer than we expected." The wine would certainly have been prepared with enough strength to knock out an allomancer. However, pewter made the body resistant to all kinds of drugs. If she flared pewter with Duralumin after drinking the wine, would it perhaps burn away the poison and leave her awake? She could pretend to be unconscious, then escape above. It seemed like a stretch. And yet what was she to do? Her food was almost gone, and her chances for escaping were slim. She didn't know what Yeoman wanted of her, and Teldon would be very unlikely to tell her. But he must not want her dead. If that had been the case, he'd simply have left her to starve. She had a choice. Either wait longer in the cavern, or gamble on a better chance to escape up above. She thought for just a moment, then made up her mind. She reached for the bottle. Even if her trick with Pewter didn't work, she'd rather gamble on getting into a better situation up above. Teldon chuckled.
They did say that you were a decisive one. That's rather refreshing. I've spent far too long with stuffy noblemen who take years to come to any firm decisions.
Vin ignored him. She easily popped the cork off of the bottle, then raised it and took a swig. The drugs began to take effect almost immediately. She settled back in her chair, letting her eyes droop, trying to give the impression that she was falling asleep. Indeed, it was very difficult to remain awake. Her mind was clouding despite flared pewter. She slumped, feeling herself drift away. Here goes, she thought, then burned to Ralliman. Her body flared with hyper-enhanced pewter. Immediately the feeling of tiredness went away. She almost bolted upright from the sudden burst of energy. Teldon was chuckling.
I'll be, he said to one of the servants. She actually went for it.
You'd be dead if she hadn't, my lord, the servant said. We'd all be dead.
And then the Duralamon ran out. Her pewter disappeared with a puff, and with it went her immunity to the drug, which hadn't burned away. It had been a long shot anyway. She barely heard her weapon click as it slipped from her fingers and hit the floor. Then she fell unconscious.
Once Ruin was free from his prison, he was able to influence people more strongly. But impaling someone with a hemorrhagic spike was difficult, no matter what the circumstances. To achieve such things, he apparently began with people who already had a tenuous grip on reality. Their insanity made them more open to his touch, and he could use them to spike more stable people. Either way, it's impressive how many important people Ruin managed to spike. King Penrod, ruling Luthadel at the time, is a very good example of this.
51. Elend flew through the mists,